Our passion lesson today comes from Luke 23. Friends, hear this word of the Lord for you today. Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, You say so. Then Pilate said to the chief priests and crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent. They said, "He stirs up all the people by teaching throughout Judea, from Galilee, where he even began, to this place." So Pilate called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people and said, "You brought me this man, this one who was perverting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence, and I have not found this man guilty of any of your charges. Neither has Herod. He sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will flog him and release him." And then the crowds shouted, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us," a man who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting and shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time, Pilate said, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no ground for this sentence of death. I will flog him and release him." But the crowds, they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave the verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Two others also that day who were criminals were led away to be put to death. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." They cast lots to divide his clothing. The people stood by watching, and the leaders scoffed at Jesus, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "Well, if you are king of the Jews, save yourself." There was an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God? Since you are under a sentence of condemnation, we have been condemned justly. We are getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing wrong." The criminal said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was about noon, and then darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. While the sun's light failed, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he turned to God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us today and all throughout this holy week. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So you've noticed that today is two things. It's Palm and Passion Sunday, because both of those things happen before Easter. Jesus comes into Jerusalem with the palm branches, and Jesus is crucified. And we can't really appreciate that miracle of Easter unless we remember all of Holy Week. Not everyone can come to midweek services during Holy Week, but we have to remember it all. This week we will remember Maundy Thursday with the Last Supper, remembering the foot washing, and then the arrest and death of Jesus. That is important, because there is no resurrection without Jesus' death on the cross. There's no empty tomb without the defeat of sin and death on the cross. So today we hear both, the palm and the passion. As we hear the passion story, remember that Jesus has told his disciples all along that he will go into Jerusalem and be killed and rise on the third day, but we can assume they didn't really understand what was going to happen to their teacher and Lord. We can assume that as they saw those crowds on Palm Sunday cheering him, that they had no idea what would happen in those crowds just days later. Watching Jesus coming into Jerusalem would be kind of like us at a huge homecoming parade for our favorite sports team after they won the championship game. It would be like going to a rally of a war hero, a hometown war hero. I mean, there are lots of people, there's noise, and people are going a little wild. Now, the disciples saw this, and they may have been thinking, wow, this is more like it. This is the reception that Jesus has always deserved. And everyone waving the branches, they would have just been riding high that day. That's one of the crazy things about Palm Sunday. Jesus comes in to these shouts of blessing and hope and people praising God. And they don't know. They don't realize where this is all headed. Do they understand where the power of God really comes from? Have they any idea that it will be love on a cross? That there will be blood shed to take away their sin? Some gathered there in the crowd may have been there to be part of the power and the fame of that moment. But others were there probably because they had been healed or transformed in some way by Jesus. This week, as I was reading it again, I realized there were probably a lot of outcasts in that crowd. People praising God because they have been welcomed by Jesus. There were people of lowly stature coming to praise the one who had lifted them up. Verse 37 says they're praising Jesus because of all the deeds of power that they had seen. And there were plenty to see in 3 years of ministry. We read it and we know the crowds will turn against him in a few days. But on Palm Sunday, in that story, there's just pure joy and celebration with good reason. Because Jesus is the King of Kings, the Son of God, bringing in a new kingdom of God. Jesus comes into Jerusalem surrounded by people adoring him and his power, and we see his power in the story. He knows exactly where to send them for this donkey so that he would arrive just like the prophets foretold. He knows the response of the crowds even before it begins. As the crowd swells, some of the Pharisees tell Jesus, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And Jesus said, "If these were silent, the stones would shout out." In other words, you can't stop this. Now or what is about to happen. As we continue today to see so much hate and division in our world right now, imagine what it would be like to be in a crowd of people who are all praising God. Imagine that. Everyone together praising God. Think about a time that you've been overcome by the power and majesty of God so much that you had to praise and thank God. That's what's happening when Jesus comes into town. Why do the Pharisees try to stop all of that joyous procession? Well, all of the religious leaders, with good reason, are afraid. They're afraid. They realize that as Jesus is riding into town, someone else is coming too. Because this is Passover week. A time when any political or religious unrest or riots would be met with the full force of Roman soldiers. So as Jesus is entering Jerusalem from one side, Pontius Pilate is coming in from the other side of the city to make sure the crowds really understand who is in power, and it's Rome. Two different leaders, two different agendas. One comes in the name of the Lord, bringing courage and hope. The other comes in the name of force, bringing fear. So we see Jesus in all of his glory on Palm Sunday, but we know what awaits him. We remember that on Thursday night, Maundy Thursday, he will eat his Last Supper and wash his disciples' feet. We remember that he will go to the Garden of Gethsemane, asking God to take away the cup, and then he will be arrested. An innocent man turned over to the authorities by one of his own disciples, Judas. We remember that on Good Friday, he will be tortured and crucified and die on the cross, that hideous capital punishment of the Romans between two common criminals. And he will actually offer forgiveness to the crowds and grace to the criminal beside him. This passion story of Jesus leading to the cross, it's so important right now for us today. We live in a fearful world. The crowds who praised him on Palm Sunday and shouted, "Crucify him," on Friday are people who are afraid of what might happen with this man, what might happen in Jerusalem. Jesus was sent to death by Pilate, a fearful, scared ruler who used violence to pacify the crowds in response to the quiet, courageous humility of Jesus. And what about those crowds? Would we have been among them? It's a question many people have asked over the years. Would we have been a part of the crowd that praised Jesus as he entered Jerusalem and shouted, "Crucify him," at the end of the week? In a way, we were there. And we all know the way a mob can work. That crowd mentality. We've all been to a concert or a rally or a big game, right? We've seen that kind of crowd power. We've felt it. That's part of the appeal of going to a rally or a game or a concert. That chance to be swept up in the moment, overcome by energy and emotion. Most of our days, we don't act like that. We keep to ourselves. But then we're exposed to the sports, the music, the politics, and these are times when we kind of let our hair down, so to speak. But we all know there's an ugly side to it, right? There are things that people will do in a crowd that they would not do on their own. Something about all the people, the noise, and the energy can lead people to do and say things that should never be done or said, much less in public. Isn't it interesting that is the pathway to the cross? Through an angry, fearful crowd shouting, "Crucify him," through a fearful leader, Pilate, afraid of what those crowds would do to him if he doesn't make them happy. Through this fearful crowd who was probably intimidated by Jesus, who had the power to draw a crowd and proclaim a new kingdom and say that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. We've been talking about fear all throughout Lent and its role in our lives. We've been talking about how we live afraid of so many different things. Failure, loneliness, illness, change. We live afraid often of people who are not like us. And in this passion story, fear is a big player. Fear leads Jesus to be arrested, tortured, crucified. An innocent man put to death in the most horrible way, a way that was supposed to make other people afraid of Rome. Yet throughout the entire ordeal, Jesus is not afraid. He asks God to take the cup from him in the garden, but then prays, "Not my will, but thine be done." He stands courageously before Pilate and the crowds, not even trying to defend himself, not even trying to get out of what is happening to him. He calmly takes it, the beating, the flogging, the accusations, the mocking, and finally being nailed to a cross. Even then, he prays for the crowds. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Even then, he promises the criminal on his side, today you will be with me in paradise. Even then, as he breathes his last, he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Can we even fathom that kind of courage? That courage and strength. We learn so much from Jesus' 3 years of ministry, his teaching and preaching and healing, but we also learn a lot from his last hours and moments on earth. We see in him an example of being unafraid, living in courage and hope in the worst of times. Think about that. Pilate, this epitome of a fearful man, gave in to the demands of the crowd, knowing full well that Jesus was innocent. He says it again and again. But Pilate is afraid of the crowds, and it makes me wonder, when do we allow the same thing in our lives? When do we allow our need to please others to override truth and justice? When do we allow the crowds to lead us down the wrong path all out of fear? And when do we know the power of being courageous in standing up for truth and righteousness? When have we stood up? When have we held firm to our convictions, ignoring what all the crowds are saying and doing? And how is God asking us to do that today? There's a question for us. Will we allow fear to rule in our hearts and minds, or do we stand on that promise of 2 Timothy 1 that says, our God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind? This power of Jesus is totally different, isn't it? It's the power we're going to affirm from Philippians 2 today, the power of humility and service and obedience, the power that comes from following God's call no matter what. It's a power that comes from love, not force, from grace, not violence. And it's the power of a sound mind, or as Paul says in Philippians 2, the same mind as Christ Jesus. When we today think about what it means to live without being a slave to our fears, we have this example of Jesus going to the cross and his death, defeating all the sin that put him there. How will we follow Jesus? How will we follow him as we wave palms and praise God for his power? How will we follow him and turn away from the crowds that demand death? How will you follow him today, this week, this year, in this world that pursues personal power and violence and might, in this world that exploits and capitalizes on fear? How will you follow Jesus? Only you and God know the answer to that. Only you know what God is saying to you right now, today, in your life. All I know is that God is speaking to you, and God is at work in all of our lives. The question is, will we listen or not? Will we pay attention during this Holy Week? Friends, God has something to tell you, and God has something for you to do. Not an addition to your to-do list. God has something for you to do that is a deeper purpose, a mission, a vision, something that brings joy, joy to your life. And it might make us a little fearful to hear God's call. It might make us a little bit anxious, but if we follow that call, not the crowds, if we follow Jesus' voice, we find that we can actually live without fear controlling us. We can live with courage and hope in our troubled times. That's what we see in Jesus. From the moment he enters Jerusalem throughout the Holy Week, that's what we see in Jesus. No fear. Who doesn't want that? Friends, hear the good news of Palm and Passion Sunday. We can live in fear, or we can face it with our faith. We can live afraid of so many things around us, or we can live in courage and hope, knowing that Jesus is right beside us. It's our choice to pursue life in Christ or give up our lives to the powers of the world. So as we enter this Holy Week, may we surrender our fear and embrace our faith in the one who leads us to Jerusalem, Gethsemane, and the cross. And to that, all God's people said, Amen. Amen.